Now, as we continue with our studies in the Word of God, we come again to Paul's first epistle to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5. In a previous study, we looked at the teaching of the first two verses of this chapter, wherein the great lesson was how to show respect for the spiritual members in the family, that is the local church. Now today we're going to study verses 3 through 16. Here it will be responsibility for the suffering members. We've had respect for the spiritual members. Now it's responsibility for the suffering members. Let me read these verses 3 through 16 of 1 Timothy chapter 5. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home, and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now, she that is a widow indeed and desolate, trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. These things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. For the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having judgment because they have cast off their first faith. Withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. Let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee that in the reading of Thy Word, we are brought face to face with the realities of life, with the responsibilities of Christian practice. We do pray now as we study Thy Word, Thou shalt help us by Thy Spirit to understand it. May we be willing not only to learn what Thy Word teaches, make us willing, O God, to put into practice these things. Bless every listener now. May Thy Word be like food to the soul, for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, as I indicated at the beginning of our study today, we have already studied respect for the spiritual members of the family. Here we have responsibility for the suffering members. I've yet to come across the family that hasn't had some time or other when members in the family circle had to suffer. You know, when one turns sick in the family, it seems to touch the hearts of all. Now, when the church is viewed as a household or family, it is necessary to consider that certain members may be suffering, and in their time of suffering, they deserve some special consideration. Surely the widow is a classic example of such a case, and should never be neglected, but given due consideration. Therefore, we have in this section I have read to you, number one, the command regarding widows. And then there is the classification of widows, for all widows are not in the same circumstances. And then there is the care of the widows. You'll find as you read through your Bible that God has not forgotten the widows. Even away back in the Old Testament, things were done regarding widows. In the New Testament, it's a strange thing that mention is made again of widows. When the Lord Jesus Christ was born, there was an old widow called Anna. She belonged to the happy tribe of Asher. And she was in the temple praising God at the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus. Mention is made of a widow who prayed. Mention is made of a widow who gave her two mites, and so on. But when you come into the Acts of the Apostles, you discover that the question of widows in the local church created a difficulty. First of all, those who were Christians realized that something had to be done for the care of widows. Let us bear in mind that in these particular days of the early church, there was no such thing as the welfare program. There was no such thing as widows' pensions. Widows were not treated by the state in the way that they're treated today, although their pension today may not be as much as they could use. Nevertheless, it keeps the wolf from the door. But in the days of the early church, there was nothing like that, and the responsibility had to fall on somebody's shoulders to look after widows. And that's what caused some of the first problems in the church in Jerusalem, was the handout to the widows. There was some complaining done. But now, here we have a command regarding widows. While it is perfectly in order to show sympathy to the widow, it should be noted that in verse 3 we are commanded to honor the widows who are widows indeed. That means we should have a proper appreciation for this widow and show respect for her. And if necessary, let the church help her financially. Now, perhaps you noticed that when I was reading it. It's a simple little verse, but it says, honor widows that are widows indeed. Now, you see, he's going to tell us who this widow actually is. All widows cannot be classified as widows indeed. There are different categories of widows. Now that may seem a hard thing to some of you, for you're going to rise up and say, well, you're discriminating. And that seems to be a bad word these days. But the Bible discriminates, you know. Discriminates between lots of things and lots of people. Now here we are then. We're told here that we've to honor widows that are widows indeed. Now having said that in verse 3, the writer continues now at verse 4 to show us the various classifications of widows. First of all, there is the widow with the family. Three things should be noted in connection with this widow. First, there is the attitude of the members of the family. Then there is the appreciation for their parents. And then the third thing is the approval of God. Now, notice what it says then, regarding this first widow. But, if any widow have children or nephews, that is, if she has children or grandchildren, really, let them learn first to show piety at home, and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Here then is the widow with the family. She has raised the family. Her family in turn has raised their family. And so she has children, she may have sons and daughters, she has grandsons and granddaughters. These children and grandchildren should be the first to show respect to the mother and the grandmother. Here they are then, let them learn first to show piety at home. It's no use raising the issue at a church meeting. It's no use being at a business meeting and raising the issue and saying, my mother was neglected in the distribution. That's what was happening away back in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6. There was complaints being made. Now here he says, here where it starts, let them start in their own home. And in their home, let them show piety there. Let them show real Christian character at home, and if they show respect to their parents, and if they do it there, remember, God is well pleased with this. This is good and acceptable before God. Now, shouldn't it be the objective of every Christian to have the approval of God? God gave His approval of His own Son when He rent the heavens and said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then again, there's a man away back in the Old Testament, a man called Enoch, and by faith, you know, Enoch was translated, but before he was translated, while he was living down here on earth, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, you and I should aim at this in life. We should aim at pleasing God. And if we have mothers who were widows, at least we should feel some measure of responsibility towards providing for such a widow. After all, she's our mother. And we've already learned in the early part of this chapter that elder women have to be treated as mothers in the local church. But here is someone who has a double connection with us. She's our mother naturally. And she's an elderly woman to be treated as a mother. Where does it start? At home? In the house? We should be prepared there to share a responsibility towards providing for widowed mothers. Perhaps you're saying, as you listen to my voice today, well, that's all right for you as a preacher trying to tell us that, but you don't understand my circumstances. Yes, I do, my friend. I can tell you right now, I've come right through this. My mother, who's been with the Lord now for a number of years, was a widow for 20 years. And I know something of what it means. I was the last in the family to be married. I stayed with my mother for a number of years. So I know what I'm talking about. And this thing has the approval of God. Now let those of you who are listening to me, who are Christians, face up to this responsibility. That widows, widowed mothers, have to be cared for, and it starts at home, and God respects this. God approves this. God says in His Word here, "For that is good and acceptable before God." But now He passes on to a second class of widow. And He says, "Now she that is a widow indeed, and desolate, trusteth in God, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day." So He's dealing again now with this widow who's got to be honored. Then, over against that, He speaks of this other widow, "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." Now He says, all these things give in charge, that they may be blameless. Here then is another class of widow who is living in pleasure. Here is the gay, frivolous widow who spends her time criticizing others and complaining that she is neglected, going around spreading gossip. She cannot be admitted into the list of widows indeed. She should be instructed as to her proper place. You see how easy it is for this particular widow. She'll go around from house to house, and she'll gossip. And this woman will not be any help in the local church. In fact, isn't it strange what the Bible says about her here? "She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." Now that woman is not to be supported by the local church. There are other things she could do. She could occupy her time and her talent in another way. There's lots of things for widows to do. Then again, there's the third class, and this is the one we want to emphasize now. There's the widow who is to be enrolled as a widow indeed. This widow is marked by certain beautiful qualities which are known and observed, and her right for recognition in the church is beyond all dispute. First of all, He tells us here that this woman, verse 9, Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years, having been the wife of one man. Notice then her years of maturity, 80 years. Here is a woman who has come through the rough years in life. She has known something of the responsibility in the home. She has cared for her husband. She has cared for her home. She has cared for her children. So therefore, she's a woman now who has reached 80 years, 60 years. She's a woman of maturity. She's got an awful lot behind her. She's turned an awful lot of corners, and she understands the difficulties in life. Also, she's a woman whose life was marked by fidelity. She was the wife of one man. She wasn't one of these kind that was married for 2 years and left her husband and looked for another one, left him and looked for another one. She wasn't a woman who was running around looking for other men. She was the wife of one man, and her fidelity was known. It was marked. She was a true woman. She was a real lady in life, a mother in Israel, a mother and a woman whose life was marked by spirituality, marked by fidelity. Then notice her years of activity, well reported of for good works. You see, here was a woman then marked by good works, her years of activity. You have known these kind of women, haven't you? I have known them. I have very pleasant memories of women of that nature, where if they knew of someone else that was in need, they were the first to fill their little bag or basket with such things as their neighbor was in need of, and had wend their way from their own house and walk the length of the street or the village to visit the person that was in need and to lay on the table such things as that person required. They were reported of for their good works. They could go and help the woman who was sick, help her to clean her home, and the person who was in need, they could provide a little for the table. The person who was sick, they could help her. Here was a woman well reported of for good works. Now she herself is a widow. The time has come when she needs help. Therefore she's to be put on the list and enrolled as a widow indeed. She who helped others in the day of her strength can now be helped when her time of need has arrived. Notice her love of maternity. Having brought up her children, she has brought up children. Now any woman who has brought up children knows something of home responsibility. So therefore she has brought up her children. And where they are now it doesn't say here. But the fact of the matter is, if she has brought up her children, and for some reason or other she is here in the position now of requiring help, then that's the woman that's to be enrolled as a widow indeed. It goes beyond those of her own family circle. If she have lodged strangers, here's a woman who was known for her acts of hospitality, having lodged the strangers. A woman who in her day was able to open her door and provide a lodging for people who were strangers to her. You have known these kind of people, haven't you? I have known them. In my day and in my travels, I have lost count of all the houses in which I have lived. Over many years now, I have lived in many, many houses. I'm not exaggerating when I say it must be near to 200 houses where people opened their doors and gave me a lodging while I was holding gospel crusades and special meetings in the areas I had visited. People who were given to hospitality. I can thank God for people who showed this great Christian grace. Here is a woman who is to be enrolled as a widow indeed, a woman known for her acts of hospitality. But it goes a little further than that. She has washed the saints' feet. Here's a woman who was marked by her work of humility. I'm not suggesting that the washing of the feet here would mean right now giving a basin of water and somebody washing our feet, for we have showers, we have baths where we can wash ourselves. The idea of washing the feet here was the idea of giving humble service. In the East, this was the customary thing for the servant to do. The servant got the basin of water and went down and washed the feet of the strangers or the relatives who had arrived at the home. The guests had their feet washed by the servant. Here was a woman who was prepared to take the servant's place. She was marked by humility and willing to serve others. But notice her expression of sympathy. Having relieved others. Here's a woman then who has relieved the afflicted. If she had diligently followed every good work. Can you think of this widow? And in her day and generation, she was a woman who was marked by sympathy for others. Wherever there was someone who was afflicted, she was first there to express her sympathy. Here then are the marks of this good woman, this widow who is to be a widow indeed. May I suggest this is the widow who has accepted her widowhood as from the Lord. When her partner in life was taken, she realized she had been left a widow. There was work for the widow to do. Instead of serving her husband now, and instead of serving the family perhaps who had all left her, as a lonely widow, she wanted to be engaged in some kind of service. She had reached the years of maturity now, 80 years. Her life had been marked by fidelity. She was the wife of one man. She had years of activity. She was well reported of for good works. She wasn't a tattler. She wasn't a busybody. She wasn't going around scandalizing other people. She was reported for good works. There was her love of maternity, having brought up children. Her acts of hospitality had gone down on record. She had lodged the strangers. She was a woman who was marked by humility, having washed the saints' feet. There was her expressions of sympathy, having relieved the afflicted. Could anyone refuse to have a widow with qualities like these to her credit? Could you refuse to have her enrolled as a widow indeed, and one who was to become the care of the local church? Now he tells us the kind who are to be rejected. Those who are running around. Those who are wandering from house to house. Those who are looking for someone else. Now he says that shouldn't be. So therefore I advise that these younger widows, if they're left as young widows, be far better for them if they would just marry again, settle down, bear children. And by the way, if you say how young is a young widow, you can tell by that verse. If she's young enough to bear children, she's still a young widow. Guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So therefore, if any man or woman that believe have widows, let them relieve them. Let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. It is obvious that the care of widows rests first of all with the relatives, that is, relatives who are believers. This is a sign of true Christianity. But where there are no relatives, then the church assumes the responsibility to show the true spirit of bearing one another's burdens.